Good morning, all. If a complete stranger were to walk up to you and say, "I'd like you to do something for me," your automatic response might be, "I'm terribly sorry, but I'm really busy at the moment." But what if you were asked by someone in authority over you? You might think, "Uh-oh, this could be difficult. What does he want? A few weeks ago, Franz Beckenbauer, one of Germany's greatest footballers, died just a few months after Sir Bobby Charlton, one of England's greatest footballers, died. At the 1966 World Cup final, Sir Bobby, who was England's record goal scorer at the time, was at the pinnacle of his career and looking forward to adding more goals in his free-flowing attacking role. But to his acute disappointment, he was told by the manager that his job in the final was to man-mark Franz Beckenbauer. And looking back, he said that to get to a World Cup final was the culmination of all he had ever dreamed of, but at the end of the game, he felt he hadn't really taken part in it. Later, the two became great friends, and Beckenbauer told him that he had been given the exact same instructions by his manager. His job in the final was to man-mark Bobby Charlton. So both these men, the stars of their teams, capable of sheer brilliance, were asked to do something much less exciting and mundane for the common good of the team, which of course they did out of duty. How very different a request is when a friend or someone you love asks you to do something for them. You're more likely to say, "Yes, of course, if I can," before you actually ask what it is, presuming it'll be a small favour or something. What you don't expect from your friend is a request to carry out a stunning act of cruelty. Abraham was God's friend. At the age of 90, well settled in and very comfortably off in Ur of the Chaldees, he was asked by God to leave all that behind and set off for an unknown destination on the strength of an unlikely sounding promise, bearing in mind that he had no children and that his wife was past childbearing age, that he would become the father of a great nation. But he did it. He did what God wanted, and he never once wavered from his faith in God. So imagine his feelings when asked by his friend to offer his son Isaac as a burnt offering. Surely that was a bridge too far. But that's the point. That's the point of the whole story. It's the ultimate test which asks the question, do you trust me even when common sense and human instinct says don't trust me? Showing that he trusts God absolutely, even under such horrendous conditions, signifies that the Old Testament covenant will be founded on faith and not on expediency. And in the New Testament, Jesus does a similar test of faith on Peter after the resurrection, which will prove to be equally life-threatening for Peter, although not immediate, when he asks him three times to declare that he loves him, and then, before he then goes on to commission him to feed his sheep, he needed to know that Peter was with him all the way. So clearly, in the story of Abraham, God did not wish the death of Isaac, nor did he wish the death of his own son Jesus. He was looking to Abraham for the kind of faith which would become the blueprint or the gold standard, the ideal that the chosen people would look towards in their dealings with him. Unfortunately, over the next 1850 years, they lost sight of that ideal of absolute faith, and they settled for the less demanding outward observance of the many laws which governed every aspect of their lives. So when Jesus came, it was to restore the ideal of absolute trust in God, which, unlike with Isaac, cost him his life. Naturally, he didn't want to die such a cruel and painful death, but his obedience to the Father's will, that he should be totally and utterly human, meant that he would be subject to the same slings and arrows of outrageous fortune as the rest of men. So when men decided to kill him, an innocent man, he suffered the same injustice so many thousands of innocent people suffer on a daily basis, like Alexei Navalny. His ultimate test was to trust in God that his sacrifice would not be in vain, and clearly it wasn't, because many millions over the centuries have imitated his sacrificial love by laying down their own lives for their friends in absolute trust in God, even when common sense and instinct suggested that they really shouldn't. You know, when Alexei Navalny was asked why he chose to go back to Russia after he recovered from them trying to poison him to death with that Novichok, I think it's called, isn't it? He quoted from the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted in the cause of right. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven." With such a proof that in spite of everything we suffer, all will be well eventually, as hinted at in the Transfiguration, those of us who belong to Christ should have no fear of taking up our cross to follow him. For as St. Paul says, with God on our side, who can be against us?